The Money Show with Stephen Grootes.
Only on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
It's a very good afternoon from me, Crystal Audison. A final good afternoon as we wrap up the show. And to end today's show, we're going to talk all things talk, food, and also a very important event that's going to take place and where the role of AI in climate smart agriculture will be discussed. Now, the Food Indaba has been around for 7 years and has become really quite a vital platform for food system transformation across the continent. And now with hundreds of in-person attenders, it's grown over the years and it's brought together growers, academics, activists, policymakers and food lovers to really ask some of the big questions about what we eat, how we eat it, and who gets left out of the conversation. And we know in South Africa, there's many people that are left out in this conversation. But I have Ian Harris, who's the event project manager of the Food Indaba, on the line. And Ian, good afternoon. You have a very ambitious program, and I'm quite intrigued by the fact that you are focusing on AI, the role of AI in our food systems. Quite an interesting focus for this year.
Yeah, it's timeous, isn't it? The world is blowing up at the moment with AI. So I think we're on the money in terms of a topic that's incredibly pertinent. And a topic that has a tremendous impact on everybody's life. And I think for us, the kind of the crux is we're at this inflection point where we have an opportunity to really make the tool in our own image, but there's also the risk that we can become servants to the tool. And I think that's at the heart of what we're grappling with this year's program. Mm.
So Ian, I mean, as you say, as much as we all embrace AI, there's also a real fear, and there's also a fear that it often only benefits the few and really leave out the millions of others. So, I mean, from your research, and of course, given that it's going to be the major talking point at the Food Indaba, how can AI be used to really empower small-scale farmers that in most cases really feed communities?
Look, I think that it's a case of the AI tools there's a potential for them to benefit everybody. Farmers can benefit from optimization and efficiency, buyers from better access to produce, consumers with better access to information, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the real thing that we're interested in for this year is the degree to which these systems have the data that is representative of the African continent, and it doesn't. A very, very small percentage of the data that informs any of the models that we're using is about Africa, and even less than what's available is actually produced by Africa. So there's a massive data deficit, and that in turn has a massive impact on the potential of these tools to assist us in beneficial ways. So a lot of our focus for this year is around what is our data? What does it mean to have data autonomy? What does it mean to have data attribution? What is knowledge? What is the creation of knowledge out of data? And how are we able, within food systems in particular, to ensure that the really crucial data that its stakeholders are sitting with is able to be accessed by these models, so that when we draw on the model for a recipe that touches on indigenous ingredients and optimal nutrition, that the LLMs are able to feed back data that is actually pertinent. And at the moment, that's a big deficit, and that's kind of why we're sitting with it at the heart of this year's program. Mm.
Ian, so, I mean, holding a Food Indaba, and you survived COVID, so congratulations on that too. Of course, I read a lot about innovation happening on the continent. Are there any standout examples that you can share with us around people working using data in smart agriculture in Africa?
Yeah, look, I off the top of my head, in terms of smart solutions for agriculture, I don't know them. There are many of them, but that's also not the focus for the Food Indaba this year, because around food production, we're actually really good. In fact, we produce surpluses that get sold internationally, which is part of the problem. And that's part of what we're looking at from this data science point of view, is that, you know, we on paper, we are food insecure. And from experience, we are food insecure. But it's not because we're not producing enough food. So conversations around the role of artificial intelligence and farming are for us less of a priority, but more around how are these tools informing justice, resilience, and health within the food system. So, you know, how can people access data around African food systems in their own languages? And there's Lelapa AI running out of Johannesburg, who are working on chatbots that can present in many different indigenous languages. So language and how you access information using AI tools is a key thing, and there's a lot of good work being done there. Lelapa AI is a really key one. But the others are around like machine learning. How are machines being taught to grapple with, to deal with, to be able to properly categorize and regurgitate or synthesize data that's coming from Africa? And that's where organizations like MIND, which is part of WITS, at the University of Joburg, they've got a machine learning institute. There's the Deep Learning Indaba, which is Pan-African. So I think the focus is more on organizations and people that are opening the way as opposed to specific AI solutions, although part of the program will look at very specific tools, especially for food entrepreneurs.
Ian, and I know that you always try to get different voices from rural farmers, innovators, people working on the ground. And so I'm sure that's all going to be part of some of the people attending this year's Food Indaba. So give us some details. It's only happening in July, but are there still opportunities for people who might be listening to attend?
Yeah, absolutely. The program runs from the 7th to the 20th of July at venues in different parts of Cape Town. There are sessions for food entrepreneurs, whether they are informal or running trust fund coffee shops, it doesn't matter. There's something for everybody there. We've got a program for kids at the Cape Town Science Center, where they'll be able to learn about flavor science, and they'll make ice cream with indigenous plants and look at the flavor profiles and the science of cooking. We've got something for teens, where teens are going to use AI tools at food jams to cook. We have our conference, which is kind of the culmination, with a lot of really interesting thought leaders in AI, including farmers, as well as AI thinkers and policymakers and academics. But everything is still available. You know, we just recently started selling tickets to most of the things. So it's all on the Food Indaba website, foodindaba.org/FI25. There's dining events. We've got three key dining events with some really interesting hosts. One of them is about co-creating using AI sources for the meal that night. Another one is about ancestral intelligence, looking at the soil and mushrooms in particular. And the other one is looking at diaspora foodways and the ways in which kind of...
Oh, we seem to have lost Ian Harris there from the Food Indaba. But thank you so much, Ian, for joining us today to talk about the Food Indaba from the 7th to the 20th of July, something for everyone from teenagers to children at the Science Center making indigenous ice cream. And then, of course, the big policy issues around the role of AI. How can it intersect with and also assist people on the ground, but also engage with farmers? So I'm looking forward to attending some of those events, because I think it's certainly something we all should be interested in, what we eat. And that brings me to the end of the afternoon.